Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Amerigo Resources conference call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Michael Kuta, Corporate Secretary. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the fourth quarter and full year 2010 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Ltd. on Tuesday, March 1st, 2011. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking statements and information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking statements and information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on forward-looking statements and information because they involve unknown and known risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to differ materially from anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements and information. You should review our press release issued yesterday and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking statements and information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Finally, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements or information made in this presentation. Now I'd like to introduce to you our President and CEO, Dr. Klaus Zeitler.
Thank you, Michael. Well, welcome again, and I'm very pleased to report on the full year of 2010 and also our fourth quarter. The company achieved, as you have seen from our press release, substantial increases both in copper production and also in moly production. And this, of course, led to significant improvements in our financial performance compared to 2009 and also in our financial position as it stands right now. In fiscal 2010, the company produced 21,137 tons of copper, an increase of 20% from 2009. And I should add that that this was a historical record for the production at MVC. We also produced 777,000 pounds of molybdenum, which is a 31% increase from our 2009 numbers. What is particularly important for us is that the processing of tailings from the old tailings ponds improved substantially, and we produced in 2010 almost 9,000 tons compared to only 3,700 tons in 2009. This high production, of course, showed itself in revenues. Our revenues increased to $152 million, and net earnings were $15.4 million, compared to almost $90 million in revenue in 2009, and no earnings in 2009. The earnings picture looks particularly good when you look at the fourth quarter results, where our net earnings were $7.5 million, which was approximately the same as the earnings in the first three quarters of 2010. In total, in 2010, we produced an operating profit of $26 million, which was three times the level of 2009. In the same category, of course, the operating cash flow, which was over $30 million in 2010, again, almost three times the operating cash flow of 2009. And again, the numbers in the fourth quarter are very impressive, with operating cash flow of $12 million in the fourth quarter against $6 million in the fourth quarter of 2009. This then led to a significantly increased cash position of $35 million at the end of the year, and that cash position has further increased since then. The financial results of the revenues and the costs were impacted particularly by higher prices and by higher royalty and input costs, and the input costs particularly through the increased power costs. The royalty costs also increased, and this, of course, is based on the increased copper prices and the increased production. I'd like to explain here that our royalty costs are not always in line with our revenues, because our revenues are based on our sales contract, and the sales contract with the traders are such that you get revenue recognition based on months which are either in the future or in the past, while our royalty payments are always based on the actual production during the months. In the past year, we had revenue recognition based on what is called M minus one, that is the production months minus one. So that meant that in a rising copper price market, that meant that we always received we always received revenue on the basis of a lower copper price than we paid the royalty, which is always, as I said, based on the months when we produce. This year, the revenue recognition is on the basis of M plus one. The trading company with whom we have our contract suggested an M plus four revenue recognition, but we were able to negotiate a contract with them which now bases the revenue recognition on M plus one. This reduces significantly our risk profile because we know at the end of each quarter most of the revenue, while if you would have an M plus four situation, you would not know at all what your actual revenue in that quarter is. With respect to revenue, I also wanted to point out that the revenue which we reported of $152 million is based on an average selling price of $3.25 for copper and $15.60 for molybdenum. And of course, as you all know, the the price for copper has further increased since then. In the last quarter, the selling price was based, the selling price for our revenue was $3.75. And again, since that time, the copper price has increased. our cash costs have increased. Cash costs before royalty have increased from 2009 at $1.62 to $1.86. This is mostly as a result of the higher power costs. We were hoping that power costs in the second half of 2010 would come down, but due to the drought situation in Chile, this has not happened and has therefore impacted our cost, particularly in the second half of the year. Total costs increased both due to the increased cash costs, but also due to depreciation and particularly the royalty from 2009 to 2010 from $2.21 to $2.76. To come back to the power costs in total were almost $40 million, and that is based on an average power price of 15.6 cents per kilowatt hour. This was significantly higher than in 2009, where the average kilowatt hour price was 11.3 cents. Now, with respect to power, I'd like to make a few additional comments also. Our power contract is presently based on what is called in Chile marginal cost. However, starting this year, 2011, and also 2012, we have an upper limit with the power supplier of 20 cents. This is particularly important right now because right now the power costs due to the drought conditions in Chile have further increased beyond the 20 cent level. As you know, we also have our generators, and one of the generators is working perfectly and is producing at about 15 to 16 cents at present oil prices. So we expect that power costs will only marginally increase this year from the power costs which we had in 2010. I already commented on our cash position, and as you saw from our press release, our cash balance at the end of 2010 was $35 million, and as I said, this has further increased since then. In 2010, we had capital expenditures of $11 million, and this was more or less the same as in 2009. The company's investments in other companies, in Candente Copper, in Candente Gold, and in Los Andes, had an aggregate fair value at the end of December of $25.5 million. As you know, we have in the meantime sold some of our Candente copper shares to recover our cost for these shares. This is not a an opinion which we expressed by selling these about the fair price of Candente Copper. We think that Candente Copper's Candiarriaco project is an excellent project, and we are looking forward to further price increases of the Candente Copper shares. Our outlook for 2011 is that we should produce at least 50 million pounds of copper, so a further increase from the 2010 record production. And we also hope that we come close to a million pounds of moly, which would again be a substantial increase from our 2010 production. This is what I wanted to say at this point, and I would be glad to entertain questions.
Thank you, Dr. Zeidler. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before making your selection. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If at any time you wish to cancel your question, please press the pound sign. There will be a brief pause while participants register for questions, and we thank you for your patience. Our first question is from Mary Lou Archer from Orangeville. Please go ahead.
I just wondered, what are the chances of reinstating the dividend?
Well, we haven't made any pronouncement on that yet, but the board will discuss that matter in the near future, and I cannot promise anything at this point, but of course, as I said, our cash position is pretty good, and the board will discuss that matter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Anthony Cantone from Tinton Falls. Please go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to ask if we're not going to need this cash, or, you know, I was going to ask, what are we going to do with this cash? Do we have other projects that we might be able to invest in? I see that you're selling your other Candente project, or at least some shares. So that seems like it's not going to be a use of cash. It's going to be generating cash. Could you comment on what we may use this cash for that we have and that we're generating?
Well, as you may know, we are right now producing copper out of fresh tailings and out of old stored tailings from one tailings pond. But there are additional tailings ponds in the area, and we have been discussing with Codelco and El Teniente for some time that we would like to also process tailings from these other tailings ponds. And these discussions are ongoing, and I would say they will even intensify this year. And so if a contract in that direction would happen, then we would have significant capital requirements, because in such a case, it could be possible that we could increase our production by at least 50% or even more, and this, of course, could not be done with the existing facilities.
Are you planning on making any more investments in other companies like you did with Candente?
We have no plans at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Stephen Oatridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, Klaus. Steve and Dean left you a while ago, and I never really saw any explanation or reasoning behind it, just the message that he had gone. Can you elaborate, and does he have anything to do with the company anymore?
He is still a director, but I do not want to comment on it, because discussions with Stephen are still ongoing, and so... It it would not be the right thing for me to comment at this point.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have any questions or comments. Our next question is from John Pulcheri. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Gentlemen, could you elaborate a bit on the power contract that will begin at the end of 2012? The terms of that, I believe it's a long-term hydroelectric contract. Is there a particular price range? Is it fixed? And when exactly does it begin, and how long does it last?
Yeah. Well, our power contract is a long-term contract. It was last contract expired in 2007, and we had to negotiate a new contract at that time. So the present contract goes from 2008 to the end of 2017. And the contract is basically cut into two parts. And I have to explain sort of the background to that. The first part is based on an electricity price of based on marginal cost. And one of the reasons why that happened was that you may recall that in 2008, the Argentinians cut off the gas supply to Chile. And you have to remember that at that point, before that was done, the Chilean electricity grid was based up to 40% on gas supply of Argentina. So this was a big shock for the whole electricity system in Chile. And the power companies did not know at that time how to substitute that Argentinian gas and with what they would produce electricity in the next few years. So they figured that they would need about 5 years to rectify this problem. And therefore, they were not willing to enter into any contract which would give them undue risk in terms of prices. So therefore, the power contract was based on marginal cost. However, in the contract, which, as I said, lasts till 2017, from 2011, so from this year, we were able to negotiate at that time a maximum price of 20 cents per kilowatt hour. And you have to recall that at the time when the gas shock from Argentina happened, prices in Chile went up to about 32 or 33 cents per kilowatt hour. So in 2011 and 2012, we will have a maximum price limit of 20 cents. Starting in 2013, 1st of January, our power costs will significantly decrease. So when you look at our power costs last year, 2010, of an average of 15.6 cents, these power costs will be half starting in 2013.
Through the end of 2017?
17. That's right.
So and, 5 years.
Yeah, and it is based on a fixed price, which is 6.2 cents per kilowatt hour plus inflation adjustment. So right now, that inflation adjustment would bring it today to about 7.5 cents, and so we figure that by 2013 it will be just about 8. This is the variable cost of the power contract. On top of it, we then have a fixed cost of having the right to draw a certain megawatt from the system.
So when was the base year for inflation for this contract? What year did it start? It was 6.2 cents per kilowatt, but you say as of today with inflation at 7.5, it's accreting based on the inflation rate beginning when?
Beginning 2008.
Okay. And it's currently accreted up from 6.2 to 7.5.
Yeah, something like that. I don't have
close enough.
Let
me just ballpark.
Number,
ballpark number. Now,
that's
a fixed price through the end of the life of the contract.
Yeah, that's right.
But you said that's the. I guess what I'm confused about is that's a fixed price, and yet you said that's the floating portion plus a fixed charge for commitment.
Right.
So it's not a fixed. Is the assuming it's 8 cents, it's just to use a number, 8 cents per kilowatt, beginning January 1st, 2013. Is that the fixed cost or is that the floating portion of the cost?
No, that is the what you would call the variable cost per kilowatt hour, and you would add perhaps about, if you translate it into kilowatt hours, it depends, of course, how many kilowatt hours we use, about a cent. But then because of the fact that we have our generators for which we get a standby fee, then that 1 cent would be reduced again through this standby fee.
So therefore,
I'm saying, you know, it is about half the cost of what we had in 2010.
And you're calling the 8 cents, if you will, the variable because it's based on an inflation rate.
Yeah.
But for all intents and purposes,
it is fixed. Yeah.
It's fixed, and then the base rate. The commitment fee, if you will, isn't significant enough to dramatically bring that up to 12 or 13 cents. It sounds like your cost will be certainly under 10 cents.
Yes, definitely.
And they have the power capacity to honor the contract.
This is one of the big power suppliers, Endesa.
And my last question is, what is energy is your largest cost, but I would assume by far, but it's more expensive. Energy is a larger cost than certainly labor, right?
Yes.
So what's the metric for, what's the impact of, leaving copper prices flat? What would a penny reduction in electric costs translate into in terms of cash flow, approximately? Do you have a number, maybe, where?
Well, you know, in 2010, our energy costs were about 85 cents per pound of copper. So if you halve the energy costs, you know, you are saving about 40 cents per pound of copper.
Okay. And then lastly, before I jump off, you've been talking for quite some time about processing additional tailing ponds. I mean, it's been probably, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe several years.
You are not wrong.
Is that, I know you say that conversations are getting a bit more serious, and I understand they can be delicate and protracted. But if I'm correct, Doctor, they were moving along last year too. I mean, what gives you? Do you have any rationale for thinking that maybe they would come to fruition in 2011? Is there a catalyst that would bring the two parties to the table versus last year?
Well, I am more hopeful now than I was in the past for various reasons. One, you have a new government in Chile, which is much more entrepreneurial mm-hmm. than past governments were. This led to the appointment of a new CEO at Codelco, a CEO which came from private industry, the first time ever. CEOs in the past were always recruited from the bureaucracy. As we have said in the past, we are investing into a pilot plant, and that pilot plant should be operational more or less mid-year. That pilot plant will show us how we can produce in an economic way copper from oxide tailings, and that becomes very important because the tailings which we are not working yet are not mainly sulfide tailings, but they are almost half and half oxide and sulfide.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is important for us to show to Codelco and El Teniente that we can process and we can recover copper from these tailings, both from the oxide portion and the sulfide portion.
And your philosophy, as it was, and we agree with you, should be, I mean, you've remained unhedged and you would
yes.
continue to remain unhedged, correct?
Yes.
So at some point, say, as we go through 2011, if there's not an agreement for an expansion by the end of the year, cash continues to build. Is it a safe statement to say at that point there would be more elevated consideration by the board to disperse some cash?
Yeah, as I said before, you know, I think the board will need to discuss this matter in the near future.
Right, right. Okay. What would the CapEx elevate to on an expanded program?
Yeah. I don't have any numbers on that. It would be substantial, mm-hmm. And it would also depend on how fast you would attack these tailings. I mean, the beauty of it is that, you know, not as it is in a mine where once you know you have a mine, you also know, well, this is the capital cost, 500 million or 200 million or 1 billion.
Right.
In our case, we can do it in stages because all the infrastructure is there. And we don't need to do everything, you know, right away to the maximum level.
Great. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mary Lou Archer in Orangeville. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wondered, since the fourth quarter earnings were released on Monday, and the earnings seemed to be quite good, we've seen the stock drop. I think it opened on Monday. It was at $1.43, and we've seen it drop to $1.30. What do you attribute that to? I would have thought it would have gone up.
You're absolutely right. That's what I would have thought. But it was interesting, you know, that the volume was very small, which drove the price down. Mm-hmm. And I really don't have a good explanation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have no further questions at this time. I would now like to return the meeting over to Dr. Zeidler.
Yes, well, thank you for joining us. I don't have any further presentation here. we are looking forward to a good year in 2011, and we'll be happy to report again our first quarter in a few months. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.